recording there.
I'm recording there. All right, so I'll either look at you or look at the camera.
Okay.
If I start looking at that, I do that quite a lot. But it'll happen, mate. Right, we'll smash it. All right. Hey, 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 everyone. Fraser Brooks here with the Network Marketing Ninja Podcast, episode 106. Can you believe it? And today, I'm joined with my good buddy, Aidan O'Brien. How you doing, buddy?
Good, man. How are you?
Yeah, loving life, man. Loving life. So, we are both in Dubai at the moment. Obviously, crazy times going on in the world. So, we are social distancing. We've been washing our hands and all that sort of fun stuff.
We stopped kissing ages ago.
We did. Not too long ago. You know,
should be okay.
We should be all right. Yeah. And Aidan is just one of the good guys. I've known him for many years now. We've hung out in Naples and Florida and different parts of Dubai. Fun story. For those of you who know the restaurant chain Nando's, me and Svetlana, we're walking through the Mall of Emirates. Now, Dubai is amazing. You can literally eat any kind of food, right? And we're walking by and I go, whoa, Nando's, let's go. And Svetlana's like, really? You want to go into the Nando's? You're in Dubai and you want to go into Nando's? I said, yeah, go into the Nando's. So we're sitting there, Nando's, and Aidan walks by. I'm like, Aidan, how you doing? He's like, what are you doing here? Like, what are you doing here? We both had a Nando's. Like, just, it was
beautiful.
It was beautiful. But Aidan, you are incredible. I've seen you speak in different parts of the world. I've seen you travel the world. I've seen you inspire people all over the world. Can you share with the guys a little bit more about your background? And you've been involved in network marketing 10 years now, 10 plus years. Yeah. Share with the guys what you're doing before, how you got involved, and all that fun stuff.
Well, first of all, thank you very much for having me. It's a pleasure. It's a pleasure. We keep bumping into each other all over.
Oh, it's too much fun, mate.
Literally, even at that event in Florida, I remember going backstage and it was you or him. I was like, what? Like, this was crazy, like how we keep bumping into each other. Like, the universe has been bringing us together, let's put it that way.
That's for sure.
And we trust the universe around here. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I mean, my background was health and wellness. So to run gyms, mm-hmm. 2007, 2008 in Ireland, I was managing gyms.
Love it.
That was when I first came across network marketing, and you know, the owner was in network marketing and product based business, and the guy came in to present the business to all the staff in the gym, you know. And it's funny because that guy who came in is still a mentor today, believe it. I still talk to him. Even though now, sometimes he says that he learns from me, which is the coolest thing
That's
ever.
That's class.
And he's going to listen to this, and you know who you are, Eddie, for that. But he told me even recently, he said, I remember, he said, when I showed the business and showed what's possible with network marketing, he said, your eyes lit up. I was the only one in the room that eyes lit up, you know. And clearly I'm the only one still doing it, which is now 12, 13 years later. So I think that's actually a pro tip, you might say. When you do see someone's eyes light up, right, their body shifts. Mm-hmm. I always tell people to read the emotional signals, just what they say, but look at their physiology. Mm-hmm. So that's what got me interested. But I went working on cruise ships then in 2009, and I was traveling the whole world speaking on, it was a sales job, you know, ultimately. But I was traveling around the world, and in 2010 I made the decision to go all in. Mm-hmm. I was actually reading Rich Dad Poor Dad.
Nice.
That's what flipped the switch.
Me too.
That's what flipped the switch. Yeah. And that was actually on the way home from the ship in the airport. I got that book. I got it as a gift. And that's where the shift came. And because I was, a good speaker and in sales, mm-hmm. I loved that side of it. And I got into the speaking immediately, like explaining the business. And that's how I got into network marketing, and I could never look back.
Yeah. And you have one of my favorite stories in network marketing. It's not embarrassing for me, maybe a bit embarrassing for you, definitely embarrassing for me in one way.
Yeah.
So tell the guys how you came across and met Mr. Eric Worre.
Yeah, well, that's a funny story that always kind of comes up. I think I'm kind of famous from that. Like Eric made that story very famous, you know. So he was speaking at one of our company events, mm-hmm. and he was talking about accountability. Mm-hmm. And he just said, you know, there was 3,000 or 4,000 people at the event. We were just kind of growing. And he said, anybody have a team they don't like? And mm-hmm. I just put my hand up because it was an easy answer for me back then.
Yeah.
I'm a Manchester United fan, so I put my hand up, and I was thinking, you know, those Liverpool bastards. that was a nice way of putting it. And he just came behind me and just stood behind me, and out of 4,000 people, I went to Las Vegas for our leader convention, and I'd met him then and everything, but we didn't know each other, you know. And he just asked me about this team and then created a challenge mm-hmm. for the next 30 days. Now, what happened was I was traveling the world building the business, you know, the company, I was working for the company at times because I was a good speaker, right? And I was good at sales. So I was doing the business infos, I was doing the strategy training, all that kind of stuff. So I was having success, but I wasn't getting the duplication. Yeah. So I wasn't getting the results. So back then, you can't blame the company, but it wasn't as easy as it is now. It was much, you know, when companies are early, their comp plan isn't always user-friendly.
It's pioneer stage, isn't it?
Yeah, they're figuring it out. So it wasn't easy, you know, and often, like, you had to do this qualification confirmation, and I kept just falling short. I kept just missing it and hitting the, and it happened time and time again. So I ended up telling that story. I was quite open about it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I had been, like, it was 8 levels or whatever, and I couldn't get off that level 1, you know, for years. Just couldn't get off it. Even though I was seen as somewhat as an expert, I was seen as a higher, I couldn't get the result. And so he challenged me.
And he saw something in you there, didn't
he? Yeah, he did. He probably saw, yeah.
Yeah, he saw the light.
Yeah.
So
what happened was, you know, what I couldn't do in, you know, a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years earlier, I did in 30 days. I doubled. And he created this accountability in front of 4,000 people. Mm-hmm. And I remember I didn't hear what he said for the rest of the day because I was texting, inviting. I went insane at the event. I was just texting everybody. Yeah. I said, I can't wear a Liverpool jersey. Yeah. I can't. That's what he challenged me.
That's a challenge.
Was to put a Liverpool on your Facebook page, a cover photo, I love Liverpool, all this kind of crap, you know. And I said, my family will disown me, my brother will physically assault me.
For the guys who don't know, like, football, so Liverpool is my team, the best team. Aiden's team, here we go. Aiden's team is Manchester United, although we did have a draw and then they beat us the other day. So, you know, at the moment, short.
I'm surprised you invited me out.
I know, bro. I love you. You're awesome. So, like, yeah. So, this is the guy. The guy's got so much value to give, right? So, even though for the next however long we're going to be here, it's peace treaty, right? I'm huge, right? So, for those of you who don't know, if I was to challenge, I had to put a Manchester United profile picture and cover photo on my social media.
Yeah.
Like, that's hell. Like, you get disowned by family members. It's that strong. So he challenges you.
So he challenged me to do that. So I couldn't eat lunch. We had lunch after. I physically couldn't eat lunch. Like, I remember in the shopping mall, I remember vividly how I felt, you know. Yeah. And the crazy thing was, I'd walk outside. I remember I walked into a cafe at the end of that day, and there was about 100 Italians chanting, Liverpool, Liverpool. Like, everywhere I went, like, people were chanting Liverpool at me. And because he was talking to me for like 15 minutes or whatever. So that was crazy, but I hit it. I didn't even just hit what he said. I went to another one above it, which was amazing. Crazy.
Yeah.
So then I came back to the next event, and I'm waiting for the praise, and I'm looking forward to enjoying it. I said, okay, what's next? I was like, oh, shit. Like, I thought it was done, you know? So I went again to another one, and then the challenges kept getting more. The accountability got more and more severe then. Yeah. You know? So initially, it was just a cover photo and stuff like that. And then it came to wearing the jersey.
Yeah.
But now it wasn't 4,000 people. Now it was 12,000 people.
Yeah, because it was growing, right?
And now it was a huge big screen, and it was, where's Aidan O'Brien at the event? Where's Aidan? Where's Aidan O'Brien?
He's looking for you now.
Just hunting me down at this stage. And even at that stage, he started stalking me on Facebook and everything. So he messaged me and said, just watching Manchester United and Liverpool, thinking of you. You know, like, you've Eric Worre, who you're looking up to, you're following his stuff, you're using his content, training your teams, and just trolling you online.
And so I then go to, May 2018, I go to Eric's house to, like, collaborate with him on a social media summit that we do. And I'm thinking, what can I give? Because I'm British, right? So I'm like, I don't go empty handed. Like, when I'm going to his house and spending, like, the weekend with him, I'm just going to bring something. I'm thinking, right, wine is a tricky choice. Like, what do I do? I thought, I'm going to take him a Liverpool scarf. So went into the Liverpool store, got this scarf, and it was like, this is awesome. This is such... I'm proud, right, to be able to pass my team stuff on. So I give it to him. He's like, all right, yeah, really cool. He goes live. There's a photo of us holding it on, putting it around his neck. And I'm like, Eric's actually got one of my scarves in his house now. This is so cool. Fast forward. I don't know, I'm trying to think when it was. It was 2018, so maybe like June-ish.
Yeah, it was around May 2018.
So it was soon after this, I see, like, some videos come up on social media of, like, Eric on stage with the Liverpool scarf, and I'm like, oh, he's taking my scarf to, like, somewhere in Europe to do this event. And I'm like really buzzing. And then he challenges you still in something.
So now we're at 18,000 people in O2 Arena in Pride, like, and it's the first day of the event, and I'm thinking he's not going to do it anymore. Like, it's 18,000 now, like literally 11 a.m. So like 2 hours into the event. Where's Aidan? Where's Aidan O'Brien? And I literally, my heart is just beating out of my chest, you know. And I went down, and he's like, "So what have you done?" You know. And I'd hit the last one. So now we're up a good, decent money. Like in network marketing, you consider it like the leadership
level. It's top percentage, yeah.
And so he said, "Okay, now we need to go to the next, you know, to five figures a month, more good pushing up there, good money,
really,
and
big push."
Yeah, you could get to the first where I was at, you could get there alone, but now you needed to really create duplication. You needed more than that, you know. And for me, that was a huge milestone for me to get to that level. And like what he said, so before when I missed one of the challenges, I bought a baby jersey and I wore it on my leg. And because then he called me, put up on the big screen, like Liverpool's number one fan. And his guy, John, you know, his sound guy, John, had all the music and You'll Never Walk Alone, all this shit. It was terrible.
That must have been awful for him.
He said you had to wear the jersey, but I wore the baby one on my leg. And I said, you never said which size jersey I had to wear. And he never said where I had to wear it.
Everyone's loving it.
Everyone's going crazy, right? So then I get there and he comes out and he comes out with this Liverpool scarf from Prague, 18,000.
I wonder where he got that one from.
And I thought, did he go shopping in Prague yesterday? Like, what's he doing? And he says, I want you, like, the result of wearing the jersey is not enough. I want to motivate you now. So he said, and this is all about accountability. Again, pain being more powerful than pleasure, right?
Yeah.
And we'll get into that psychology later and that's human behavior. But he said to me, you're going to wear this scarf all weekend. And this is why he picked the first day of the event, because he said, you have to wear this for 3 days. And I said, I don't care who you are anymore, Eric. I don't care if you're a legend anymore. Just not a hope of it.
Yeah,
like no hope. Like, and I'm up on stage 30-40 minutes, you know, in Pride, 18,000 people and chanting. I mean, it's just crazy, you know. And he says, "You're capable of this. Like, you've literally people see you as hired in this for 10 years, 7-8 years, and I'm, you know, 5-6 years in the business at this stage."
Mm-hmm.
And for someone like I stuck with it. And I remember Jordan Adler's story. I remember watching that $1 million interview when he's 11 years. And I remember thinking, I'll never be 5'11". You know what I mean? But I was like 5 or 6 at this stage. I'm starting to creep up now, you know? But that's why I got it, unfortunately. I agreed to it. But something in me said, listen, this is from God. This is from the universe. This is a movement, you know, and have someone, Eric, and it's obviously a good story. He likes it. It's a good story for his thing, but it's a powerful story, you know, because most people in network marketing, they're not the rocket ships.
Yeah.
Most people are that struggling for years. Most people, I think, are give it everything and don't have the results they want. You know what I mean?
But I also think a lot of people who were in those crowds when there was a few thousand, 12,000, 18,000, they were also waiting, when's he going to get Aidan on? Because you were relatable to where they were at.
100%.
And they saw like, wow, and power of accountability. If you have, they say that if you set a goal, you're 90%, you've got a 95% chance of hitting it if you have that accountability partner with a deadline.
And this was accountability on a level
on steroids.
You can't imagine.
Yeah, this
like,
is crazy.
I'd come out even at the last event when it was 15,000-16,000 as well. When I came out, like, I mean, it's hundreds of photos, hundreds of people, and not just, you know, like girls and guys, like big Serbian men come up to me, like, you inspire me. Can I get a photo? Big Serbian. I'll never forget this. What, these big boys? I'm like, what are they coming up to me? Like, and they're like, man, you inspire me. And I was like, well, like your story. And
it's crazy.
Like, it was emotional at times because the amount of, you know, people that I touched saying like, you never get, like, you kept going.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I went through it. Like, I was like, I had times in Ireland where the heater went in the car, and I remember 6:30 in the morning driving to a meeting and waiting for the sun to come up to get some heat and having one hand under my ass, one on the wheel, and switching because I didn't have money to fix the heater and just going to meetings. You know, I did that.
Hustle.
I had all that stuff for and I have some crazy stories that someday I will tell on stage, you know. So to get that push, like, I remember before he first picked me out, I was like, will I give up, you know?
Yeah.
Will I, because it's been years and I'm not making the money I want and whatever. And I, even though I had this reputation and image as a leader, I wasn't getting a financial return.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was the thing. I had all the other, you know, parts.
It's frustrating, right?
Yeah.
It's frustrating.
So, but I didn't. I said, listen, let me give it one more go.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, let me give it one more go. And that's when the breakthrough happened.
Straight away after the breakdown, right? So it's funny as well because, like, I see so many people go through that frustrated period.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, when you see people who are climbing faster than you are, and it's like, but I've been involved longer, I'm doing more, I've got more skills. They're like, Really? They're doing it, and it can be frustrating, right?
And I had that, because I had that up, I was the speaker. People saw me all over the world and said, you're the best I've ever seen. Mm. You're the best speaker. Yeah. And I remember one of Jim Rohn's training, everyone was telling him he's the best speaker. Yeah. He's like, why am I making that much money? Yeah. And he's like, I'm the best speaker. Maybe I'm not the best persuader. I'm the best presenter. But I was good at persuading, but I wasn't getting whatever the duplication at the time, whatever it was in that journey.
Jim Rohn says, turn your frustration into fascination.
I was fascinated, right?
So you were like, wow, yeah, I'm really fascinated now. So Aidan then sends me, you're in Prague, and Aidan sends me a video on Facebook of him basically removing the dirt from his shoes, or say politely, removing the dirt from his shoes with this scarf. And I then go, how come Aidan's got this scarf? And then I hear this story, I'm like, wow, this scarf has literally gone from Liverpool to Vegas, Vegas to Prague, and now this Man United fan's dusting down his shoes.
Yeah, I'm going to wear the scarf, Eric, but I'm going to have some fun with it. So I was cleaning my shoes, and I was doing all this, and I was sending Eric the videos, and then you saw it, and you're like, and I had no idea it was your scarf.
Like, and I was laughing, because you had no idea. I'm laughing because I'm thinking, that's actually hilarious doing that, but also I was a little bit gutted, because I was like, Eric doesn't really think much of my scarf then, but he did think much of the scarf because it inspired you to go on and do incredible
and
things.
And just on that, so that he gave me like 3 months, and he said, this was in May, and he said, listen, if you do this, I said, hold on a second, you're giving me all the punishment, what about a reward?
Here we go.
And I was getting confident now too. I was like, hold on a second, you're beating me up every time, let me get something back
In front of 18,000.
In front of 18,000, what was he going to do, right?
Yeah.
And he was trying to put it on me, and I was like running away from him. It was a funny thing, you know, but he said, I'll tell you what, he said, GoPro is coming up, and this was Magic Johnson was going to be speaking at John Maxwell. I was like, good Lord. Mm-hmm. And he said, I will fly you and a friend out, put you up, pay for the event, take it the whole lot.
Ooh.
And it's funny, I knew that was going, I could feel it, I could, even before I knew I was going to Vegas, I don't know, you ever get this kind of premonition sometimes,
yeah.
I saw the whole thing unfold, mm-hmm. You know, I knew it was done, I just knew it was done already, like, and he said it, and everyone was going crazy, and the next month I hit it, hit the goal, and he flew me over, and I brought some of my team over, and we were in Vegas for GoPro, and it was just, I haven't seen him since, actually. but it was, it was again having someone to believe in you as well. Someone of that, and to say, listen, keep going.
You've got
push me, you know. Mm-hmm. And that's why people are so lucky to have you every day and so consistent. Mm-hmm. People like you, what you are doing. Because you don't know, I don't think you even realize how much a difference it makes when people believe in you. And you actually believe in the people. And that's the biggest
difference. It's just sincerity behind the belief, isn't it? A lot of people say you got to have belief in the product, belief in the company, belief in the compensation plan, belief in the leaders. But if it's not sincere and it's fake, you can't fake belief.
You can't fake belief.
You can't fake belief. So obviously, you and I kept in touch. I like seeing your journey. You travel a lot, speaking so many countries, a lot of America, all over America, all over Europe. Now, obviously, you're based in Dubai for now, and you're doing a lot of speaking over here as well. You spoke at an event that I was emceeing and speaking at in Naples in Florida, and you blew a lot of the people away with what you were sharing, because you've had the network marketing background, and you love it, and it's a passion of yours, but you love helping people perform at a higher level.
Yeah.
You love unlocking the true reason why people are doing it. So maybe share like how that's come about, because you used to do a lot of speaking before network marketing.
Yeah.
And then network marketing's been your thing for a while, but now you are helping, you've got clients, you work with companies, speak at a lot of events.
So, I mean, if I go back to the ship, like the ship was a sales job. I was I'd teach a seminar, we had 4,000 guests a week, and I was teaching every Sunday, 4,000 new people. Like, it was the most exhausting. I slept three, four hours a night for a year. But the goal was to get people in for a consultation and then sell a product. And my target was, you know, $16,000 to $18,000 every 7 to 10 day. If a 7 day cruise was about 15, and if it was a longer cruise, it'd go up to $16,000 to $18,000. But people are only on the ship 3 or 4 days. You think about it, everyone gets off. So the sea days on the cruise, I had to sell. So out of 150 ships and 300 people, I was number one within 3 months in sales.
Jeez.
So I was good, I was good. They offered me any ship in the world. And I think part of it was having an Irish accent.
Yeah, it does help.
But so I was good. I was, to get to answer your question, I was good at speaking, selling. I understood, I understood people. I understood networking. That's why I had the success. I could build relationships. And I think that's an Irish thing as well. We're good. And even the UK, we're good with people. Like, you know what I mean?
We're definitely people. We're very warm. If you go to any part of Ireland, any part of like the Northwest, Liverpool, it's just a warm place to be.
People are friends with you. So that was always in me, and I was good at that. Mm. So even when I started my network marketing journey, I still was teaching about sales then at that point. I was talking about communication. I was talking about psychology, because you know I was reading 2 books a week at that time. Like I didn't even finish school. I went when I was 16 to Tenerife for 3 months doing a sales job in the summer. And it was crazy, but I just wanted energy. I didn't want school. I didn't want reading. I hated books. I hated school. But when I got into network marketing, I was fascinated with who can I become? Mm. And that's why I was reading 2 books a week. So like I was able to, luckily when I wasn't making money from network marketing, I was making money from my speaking, from the mentoring on the sales, leadership. And then all that journey through network marketing, all that, especially that time, you know, I was learning really about leadership. I was learning a lot from Matt Morris as well, you know, from a friend, mm-hmm. I'm happy to call him a friend now, mm-hmm. and all these other guys, and Eric, of course. I was going to all these events. I went to every event. I still take more notes. Like I have probably 5 or 6 manuals of Eric Worre notes And people think I was a good speaker by fluke. No, I was a student at the game. Like, you know, I was obsessed with it. So, but I applied that to other things then. Mm-hmm. So that what I was able to do then is I'd go to events in Ireland. I'd run my own events. Mm-hmm. I'd run a health and wellness event. I'd run a New Year, New You event. Nice. I'd run all these events, and I would teach everything I was learning from what I was learning from network marketing as well. Mm-hmm. And in 2014, I did a professional coaching qualification. I was really fascinated by the coaching. And the reason is because mentoring is teaching you what you know.
Yeah.
So you can mentor me on what you're an expert at. I can mentor you on leadership. I can mentor you on communication, on mindset. Mm-hmm. But coaching is asking you the questions to bring your truth out, to bring your expertise out to a higher level.
Love
so
it.
That's why I love coaching. So mm-hmm. I was doing that the whole way. That's always who I was, I guess. Mm-hmm. And just as a sidebar, I mean, when I was in network marketing, I was almost afraid to admit that. I was like, I'm a network marketer. I'm that company.
Yeah.
I was keeping my coaching and speaking separate, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't share with the other who I was.
Right,
you know?
Of course, yeah.
But over the years, I mean, I got more and more into that, and mm-hmm. that was my favorite part of network marketing was to teaching the people, like running. I used to run workshops every week. I ran events every day.
And seeing the people just progress, right? And we were talking like off camera before and off air before how it's kind of a weird scenario. First of all, when someone comes up to you and asks for a photo, that still freaks me out. It freaks me out. Like, obviously, I'm going to do it and I enjoy it in a way, but it's still like, why would someone want me? Like, this face ain't made. This face ain't made for cameras, mate. But I think what we were talking about was powerful is when someone has a notepad, thick notepad, and they've got your name, the date, and then all these quotes, all these lines, and the ripple effect that you can create from that is insane. So we were talking before how you now help people kind of go to like into the heartfulness.
Yeah.
Can you share a little bit more? I know it's a whole, you probably do like 3-day workshops on this, but like, how have you seen the power of that, like getting into alignment and finding your truth and getting heart-centered?
I mean, that's what I do. I would say if people say, what do you do? I bring the truth out of people. Like when I speak and I coach people, it's bringing their truth out. And I'm someone who all over those years in building network marketing, like I'd lie in bed at night going through every meeting I did that day, thinking of what they said, what I said, the next day, what am I going to say, what are they going to say? Mind. And I remember one time I was doing an event and I was in Croke Park, you know, our famous stadium in Ireland, about 100 people in the room. I just drove up and suddenly about 20 minutes in or half an hour in, my head started spinning and I couldn't stand. I was just so dizzy and I was dizzy for 5 weeks. I was in hospital for 10 days, brain scans, all this kind of stuff. And they were, at the end of it all, they couldn't find anything. They're like, they barely found a brain, they said. they said, I think it's stress. And I was like, stress? I was like, I'm not stressed. Like, and they're like, what are you doing? Like, well, I drive every day 2 or 3 hours. I'm speaking all over the country. Mm. Every month or 6 weeks, I'm traveling and speaking. Like, I said, I love what I do. And they're like, no, but your adrenaline is so high.
Yeah.
They're like, my mind is all the time.
Keep going, yeah.
So I was in that all the time. And I was always kind of trying to understand calm in the mind and everything. And I was always into that. I always believed in a higher power. Like even when I'm on the ship, I always believed in that law of attraction. And I was searching for it. I was always reading so many books and seeking. And I think all of us in our soul we're being called to truth. But I think the more aware we are, you know, some of us hear the truth more than others. And then some of us see people finding their truth on their journey. And how they find their truth is when they get out of the head and into the heart.
Mm-hmm.
Because your soul has your truth. It's present truth. Your mind is all past. Mm-hmm. Like everything when you woke up this morning, Fraser, everything you thought was your past you.
Yeah.
It's not present moment. It's all legacy. It's all residual. And what I realized over the last couple of years is, even when I had some success and I was even making money from my speaking or whatever, mm-hmm. and you rent a Lamborghini for a few days and have fun,
yeah.
or you'd stay in a nice place, you travel to these places, you go to the leadership events, you're staying at these magnificent hotels, mm-hmm. then what else do you do, like, right? And what I discovered is the feeling we are seeking is actually inside of us.
Mm-hmm.
This is what's crazy. Everything we are seeking, from the relationship, from the house, from the car, everything, now we're being the highest rank, that thing we want is the feeling that's all inside of us. Mm-hmm. Like, the kingdom we are seeking is in our hearts, like.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to get out of our head.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest thing. When I coach people now, when I speak at events now, and even people come to me, one of my new coaching clients from the UK actually watched mm-hmm. one of my YouTube videos and we're coaching.
Mm-hmm.
Like, when he comes with, I want to improve my sales, I want to improve my business, the first couple of sessions we're dealing with the inside game.
Mm-hmm.
Everything is in the heart first, you know. So for me, everything is your truth. It doesn't matter what you want.
Mm-hmm.
It's about, can I hear my truth, or am I hearing this game in my mind? You know?
It's so important, because I believe that your thoughts are your enemies, your feelings are your friends.
Mm-hmm.
And your thoughts are up here, your feelings are in here. So it's very aligned with that. Hence why we wanted to do this. But a lot of people in network marketing they're told, like, find your why, find your why, find your why. And a lot of the time it's up here, right?
100%.
It's like, whoa, let me think about, we're thinking about it here, isn't it? Like, let me think. It's not like I need to feel my why. What would you encourage to someone who's maybe struggling with the why, or like doesn't realize that it's not aligned? You say finding your truth. I love that, because I love transparency. I love, you know, vulnerability. I love being authentic. And all of those things are aligned with being true to yourself and true to other people.
Exactly, yeah. Mm. See, the mind, first of all, is limited. Like, I did a video recently, why mindfulness is a waste of time.
Is that on YouTube?
It's on my YouTube channel. I've just started. You have to be patient with me, because I've just started on YouTube. There's like 70 subscribers, 80. But
better start, mate.
It took me 10 years. I remember in 2012, I was on a tour of America. I was in Chicago. And the guy sat me down and said, why aren't you on YouTube? Like, because even though I was there for network marketing, I talked for 2 hours about this kind of stuff.
Right, right.
And I just couldn't.
Imagine if you did.
I can only imagine. That's what's motivating me now, actually.
Yeah, you gotta do it now.
I see the nonsense there. Yeah. I'm like, I need to do this. But the mind is so limited. You see, the heart is unlimited. Even when you're born, they check for the heartbeat first, not for the mind. They're checking for the heart. The heart is, and the heart's present moment, it's infinite. And the Mats Institute, now they measure the heart out beyond the body, like, mm-hmm. you know. So when I work with clients now, the first thing I do is I have them give me a schedule of their ideal day 1, 3, 5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
And they always come back with a schedule, and it's all mind.
Yeah.
And against the power of questions, I always say the right question is always the answer. And we dig deeper and deeper. And I want to know, when you wake up in the morning, what do you want to feel? And I had a breakthrough recently myself in the last 2 years, where we're always saying, I wish, I want. We're always speaking the words. We're talking about affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
And we even said, speak as is.
Mm-hmm.
No, here's what I learned recently is, the thoughts are to give you the feeling.
Mm-hmm.
The feeling is the prayer.
Yeah.
And this goes for religion. And I clicked about religion as well. All these prayers that we're taught since we're children, right? The words are to get us into state, as Tony Robbins would say,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
It's the state, it's the feeling that's the prayer. That's the vibration.
Mm-hmm.
It's the feeling that's the vibration. So when these guys who are watching this, you're sitting mm-hmm. down, you're thinking about your why. You have to feel your day. When you wake up, how do you want to feel? Like, when you wake up now and you have your beautiful wife and you look mm-hmm. over, you feel that shit every day.
Yeah.
You walk out your view, you have your breakfast, you feel that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how you're able to create, right?
Yeah.
The creation comes from the feeling. So it's just getting out of the mind, getting into that, listening to the heart. And you don't have to, let me think about my breathing, let me stop my thoughts. Mm-hmm. The thoughts are the waves, right? But mm-hmm. you are the ocean.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And this is a higher level of mindfulness. Again, like, the thoughts are the clouds, but you are the sky.
Yeah, yeah.
And this is Tantra, which I've been studying for the last while. And you go, again, there's levels to everything. Mm-hmm. And it's like, once you're in a video game, you hit the level, every time your soul, it's like peeling a layer of an onion off. Your soul mm-hmm. gets brighter
mm-hmm.
the more you get to your truth, you mm-hmm. know. So just ask, how do I want to feel every day? What does that day look like? What does your morning routine look mm-hmm. like? What does your nighttime routine?
Mm-hmm.
This is when the why really comes out, you know.
And it's fun as well, because in my life, I've found that the big decisions that I've made are the ones that have led to me feeling better. So asking Solana to marry me, big decision, made me feel incredible. Moving here to Dubai, big decision, made me feel incredible. me even leaving the field of network marketing to become like the coach, speaker, mentor.
Yeah.
Huge decision, but it was following the this is what I just know. It
felt right, yeah.
Yeah, I just know
and
that.
And the doubts try to talk you out of it.
Yeah, right? Yeah, it kills it.
And
kills
here's
it.
The thing, and Eckhart Tolle talks about that, the pain body, the fear, the darkness wants you, it wants to keep you.
Yeah.
It doesn't want, and all those big decisions, I guarantee you the days up to it where the fear was the loudest, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And it's the same when joining your network marketing business, the same when you're about to pay for the product, the same when you're about to invest in the training, mm-hmm. going to GoPro, buying your set, going to your mm-hmm. course. Mm-hmm. All the guys can relate that just before they do it, the fear is the loudest because the darkness doesn't want to lose you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But the more you go to the light, the more the darkness will come. Mm-hmm. But here's the real kicker. Love the darkness mm-hmm. because darkness and light are the same thing. You just mm-hmm. you have to, and this is one thing I'd say to the guys as well, is all the fears and doubts you have about your network marketing business, instead of judging yourself, which I did for years, beating yourself up, you have to embrace it. Mm-hmm. You have to love yourself. Mm-hmm. You have to love, everything that was created. I know I'm going off, forgive me, but I do.
Not
this.
Not. Brilliant.
When you feel everything that comes, the fear, the doubt, the anger, the jealousy, the mm-hmm. envy, that's your mind trying to protect you from the bad feeling. Because mm-hmm. when your body feels pain, your mind wants to distract you.
Yeah.
It distracts you with why it won't work. It just goes into overdrive. Mm-hmm. So this is why you have to embrace the fear. When you get mm-hmm. that doubt and insecurity, you have to say, I love you. Mm-hmm. You have to say, thank you. Mm-hmm. Because that, when you do that, now it dissipates.
Yeah.
But when you resist it, when you fight it, when you get angry, mm-hmm. that's when it gets stronger and stronger and stronger. It's winning.
Well, it's funny because in my life now, if I look back to the dark moments, they're actually the strongest stories I've got. If I were to share the dark moments of where I wanted to quit, when I wanted to give up, when I wanted to just drop everything, if I look back now, I'll share the dark before I share the light.
100%. And Eric talks about that in your story, right? Share the struggle, part where you struggle first, right?
It makes sense when you're saying it like this as well. So how can other people, because we could go on for hours and hours about this, right? But I want people to be able to get it from the source where it's come from. So how can people follow you? You're on Instagram mainly.
Yeah, on Instagram at Aidan O'Brien Official.
Aidan O'Brien. It'll be in the show notes. It'll be in the description.
Yeah, and YouTube now, I've started on Aidan O'Brien. So I need to get those those views and those subscribers. I have to be consistent as well. But again, it'll never leave us. Yeah. That's the thing. And as long as you're in network marketing, or as long as you're trying to succeed at any level, mm-hmm. that's going to be there. You can be sure Conor McGregor had it last week before. He had it afterwards. At the highest level, you got to get used to it. But again, just get into that. Heart. That's the biggest piece of advice is to lead with the heart, because that's the truth. Again, everything in the mind is not truth, it's fear. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the old self. So yeah, guys can find me on that on Instagram and
on YouTube.
YouTube is probably the best way going forward.
So if someone was to message you on Instagram, you're quite active in the
DM on Instagram. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can email me at aidan@d8life.com. You can put the email in the list as well.
Because you coach a lot of people as well, personally as well. So if someone's out there looking for, I want to find my truth, I want to be able to get better and improve in this sort of stuff, to perform at a higher level.
Again, it's to become the most powerful version of yourself.
Exactly.
And realignment. Now there's so much uncertainty in the world. When you can find who you truly are, now you have certainty. Now you can now you're a force through the chaos. You're proactive, you know what I mean? That's the difference. But when you're up in the head and you're not sure who you are, where you should be going, you're thrown around in the movie Tornado, when the cow is up in the tornado. That's you in your life. Whereas when you can find your truth, you can charge forward with love, with light, and embrace the darkness as well when it comes.
It's powerful stuff. If you want to reach out to Aidan, he's open for anyone. His inbox is always open. Real good guy. Even if you just want to hear his Irish accent,
I don't want to lose it.
Yeah, I know you, mate.
Get back. Ireland for a week. I talked to my parents just to get the thickness out. We don't even pronounce TA. We said tick. Get the tick Irish accent.
It's a tick Irish accent.
So I need to go back and keep that alive. You know. But listen, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you, mate. The value you gave and the people that you change, lives are changing is amazing. I'm just grateful to be able to make this happen. And you two still have my scarf, I guess.
Great way to close out. I still have the scarf. And I have a plan to give it back to Eric at some stage. There is a little.
This is going to be a big.
It's going to come back around, so we need to catch up with him again and see what we can do next. Because it's always good to be pushed. You're never too big to be pushed, You can never have too much as levels. You can see how you constantly going, and Eric and all everybody else but that scarf is there. I know exactly where it is. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It's not
buried.
It's buried in about 10 feet of absolute shite where it was. where it belongs. No, I'm only joking. It's all good. But you'll see it again, Fraser. Fraser's going to see the scarf again, trust me.
I'm really excited about that.
Yeah, really. It's going to be a good story someday. Yeah.
Well, I appreciate it, mate. I really, really do. I hope you guys got value from that. If you did, give us a subscribe, give us a 5-star rating and review, give us the thumbs up, give us the comments, whatever you can. But also, please let us know that you've tuned into this and what value you got the most by taking a screenshot, right? Whether you're watching on the YouTube, whether you're listening in on a podcast, just screenshot, pow, like that, and then upload it onto your Instagram stories. Tag me at Fraser Brooks Online and tag Aidan Bryan Official. Aidan Bryan Official. You'll be able to see it in the description. Let us know, right? Because we love to see that us giving value is going to impact you in some way, shape, or form. So with that being said, thank you so much for listening. I will see you on the next video, the next podcast. See you guys.
Bye-bye.
Let's get that one off. Oh, no.